Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this is part four of a six-part series that we're doing in Peter's first letter. What are some of the past highlights that we've gone over so far in the first three parts of this series? Through Christ, our eternity will be awesome. Let's so much look forward to that as we're living day by day. Let's look forward to what is coming in Christ. The troubles of life have God intended purposes. So when trouble comes, rather than complain, let's say, Lord, I know you're in the mix here. Show me what's going on. Help me to have a God-pleasing response. Not so easy sometimes. Let's also remember that the holy, precious blood of Jesus, that is what God used to redeem us. What is that saying about you and me? We are so valuable to God that he used the holy, precious blood of his Son. All believers are united together in one holy family. Wow, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same Lord and Savior. And then God is calling each of us to tell others about him. Remember the verse last week, how God is saying that we should be proclaiming the excellencies of him to others. Let's understand how great our God is, how excellent he is. May God help us to tell others. Going on to today, we're here in chapter 2 yet of 1 Peter, and we're learning about living for Christ. So Peter's giving us a lot of advice in that way. First of all, he's saying, be a life-changing witness. Picking up in verse 11, he wrote, Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, to abstain. In other words, to be distant, to be far from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. We could say excellent among the unbelievers. So that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. What's that all about? Our Heavenly Father is calling us. Who are we? We are citizens of heaven. That's our primary citizenship. Oh yeah, we're blessed that in a secondary way, we are citizens of the United States. We are primarily, though, citizens of heaven. So he is calling us to stay away from all evil and to do all that is excellent. Why is he giving that call to us? He's saying that unbelievers are watching us. As they watch us, if we are putting away all evil, if we are doing all that is good, then as unbelievers watch us, the Holy Spirit will be at work in them to convict them and convert them. Can you see how important it is that we are living as the people God has made us to be? In the second part here, silence your critics. That's what Peter is saying to us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Let's be honest, at times we all have a tendency to blame someone else rather than take responsibility. Where did we get that from? Well, it began right there with Adam and Eve, so it's been going on for a long time. Let's understand that we as believers, we are favorite targets of the unbelievers. They're always looking for something going on with us that they can point out a flaw in our lives. What Peter is telling us to do, he's saying, do your best with the power of the Holy Spirit to live blame-free lives. Now, what is that going to do? That's going to silence our critics. Hey, they've got nothing to blame us for because we are living blame-free lives. May God help us. Also, too, Peter is saying to use our freedom to obey. Don't use it to sin, but rather use it to obey. He wrote, "Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Have you ever had this kind of thought? So you're thinking about saying something or doing something. You know it is not in agreement with the word of God, but you're thinking, oh, I'll just say it. I'll just do it. It's no big deal. God will just forgive me. If we've ever had that kind of a process going on within us, what have we done? We have used our freedom in Christ to cover up our evil, not a good thing. How do we do that as church-going people? Sometimes we have a pretty lame excuse for skipping church. Or sometimes we're not trusting God like we should. We're not following the Bible like we should, so we refuse to tithe. We don't think it's going to work out. Or how about someone doing something very harmful to us, and then we refuse to forgive? We think somehow that's going to be okay. Or here we are, we're alive and well, we have God-given abilities, and yet we refuse to use them as a way to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. You know, these are all things that we can so easily fall into. What is the Lord saying to us? He's saying, examine yourself. Wherever you're falling short, be sorry, stop the sinning, and then go forward to honor our great God and to honor people as well. In the fourth part here, endure unjust suffering with patience. Not so easy to do, but with the power of God, we can do it. Verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. How can that happen for us suffering unjustly? Well, it's not like we have masters and we are slaves, but some of us have employers and we're employees, or here we are living under the government of the United States of America. Maybe even within our family, maybe within our neighborhood, we might feel like people are treating us in an unfair way, in an unjust way, and we are suffering. That can happen. So how should we respond? Peter is telling us, or really we could say, God is talking through Peter to tell us that it's important to continue to obey. That would be the government, our employer, and so on. Now, we want to keep in mind that if the government says do something that is contrary to the word of God, well, then we must obey God rather than men. But in most cases, though, we should obey the government. God has put the government in place to be a blessing to us, even when it's a corrupt government. Or what about our employer? Sometimes our employer can mistreat us in various ways, but yet he's saying, continue to obey, continue to show respect. And what can help us do those things? We have to remember that when we are suffering, the Lord is fully aware of what's going on. He is pleased when we are suffering with patience, and when he knows the time is right, he will deliver us from that unjust suffering. May God help us to keep all that in mind. Coming to the fifth part here, follow the example of the Christ. Whenever we hear the word example with the word Christ, we have to be so careful. There are people teaching, oh, look at the life of Christ, say what he said, do what he did, and you can save yourself. Well, let's understand that's complete heresy. That's never the way of salvation. It is because of who he is, what he did in living without sin, what he did in taking our sins and our punishment and laying down his life and being our risen Savior. He did everything, and by God's grace, we have the gift of faith by which we are trusting in him. So we never want to think about following his example for salvation. But apart from that, though, we can learn so much from our Lord Jesus Christ on how he responded to things living in this fallen world. So first of all here, let's know that earned suffering doesn't count. Verse 20, for what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? What credit is there? There's absolutely no credit. We could say, hey, we did the crime, we deserve the time. Let's be honest here. Let's take responsibility. However, though, unjust suffering, that is different. Peter continued, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So whenever we are suffering, and yet we haven't done anything to deserve the suffering, as I stated in a similar way before, the Lord wants us to remember he is aware of what's going on. He is with us to help us in the midst of the difficulty, and he will deliver us from the difficulty at the right time. Not so easy, but keep those things in mind. What is the reason for the unfair or unjust suffering? Verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So here we think about Christ. He greatly suffered. Now God is leaving us an example because he knows suffering will come to us. Persecution will come to us. That's a form of suffering. How are we going to deal with it? Well, we have to think about our Lord Jesus Christ and think about how did he deal with the suffering. Now we can learn how to deal with the suffering. So first of all, he had no sin. Peter wrote, he committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Think about our Lord Jesus Christ, completely innocent, perfect in every way, and yet he suffered so very much. This is an important one. He did not retaliate. Remember how all the various people were coming by and mocking him when he was on the cross? Peter wrote, and while being reviled, so that's talking about abusive language. We can think about all the mocking going on. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him, to God his Father, who judges righteously. So even though it was so horrible what he went through, he did not sin. He did not give the people what they were giving to him, and he kept extending forgiveness, and he kept leaving all vengeance to God. What did God say? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Whenever somebody does something against us, our old nature wants to take vengeance, but yet God is saying, oh no, that's not your job, that's my job, you leave that to me. When it comes to forgiving, that's our part. No matter what people have done to us, God is saying, you extend forgiveness to them even as I have extended forgiveness to you. That is so important. And then, what else can we say about Jesus? Well, he kept doing the will of God. Verse 24, a very famous verse, and he himself, talking about Christ, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. It is such an unfair thing. Here we are, the poor, miserable sinners. Here he is, the perfect Son of God, and yet he is so wounded, he suffered so much in order that we would be completely and eternally healed. Wow, what a great thing God has done for us. What happened on the cross? Let's keep in mind that every single sin of every single person of all time, they were put upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And then God the Father, he opened the floodgates. But it wasn't water that flooded out of the gates. It was the wrath of God that flooded out the gates and poured out upon his Son, giving him the eternal punishment that all of us deserve. It's so incredible what he did. And why did he do it? Well, he did it so that because of his love and the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, all people might repent and believe. Let's be so thankful that God has worked that within us, that we know that we are sinners. We know we are helpless to save ourselves. We know who Jesus is. We know he has done it all. We have that God-given faith in him. Let us so greatly rejoice in that. And then let's want that for others as well. Isn't it a natural thing that when we have it, we want others to know it too? What are the benefits of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here's a list real quick. Total forgiveness. Boy, think about all those different sins we've committed. Total, total forgiveness. God sees us as saints. He sees us as holy ones. I don't see myself that way, but I'm so thrilled that God sees me that way, and he sees you that way too in Christ. It's incredible. Total forgiveness. Spiritual and eternal life. Apart from Christ, we are spiritually dead and we're facing eternal punishment. In Christ, we have spiritual life and we have the gift of eternal life, and one day we're going to have the fullness of that eternal life. Reconciliation with God. Our sins separated us from God, but now, because of his work, we are reconciled with God. Membership in God's family. Isn't that an awesome thing that the Lord God Almighty, who is so awesome beyond our comprehension, that he wants you and me to be in his family, where he is our father and we are his children? Not only does he want it, he has done it. He is saying, that is true. I am your father. You are my children. I mean, it's hard to wrap our heads around that, but that is what he has done for us. Peace in every circumstance. Now, that doesn't mean life will be easy in every circumstance, but we can always be at peace knowing that in Christ we are forgiven. God is with us. God's going to carry us through. An amazing eternity is coming, and so on. And then finally, a super awesome eternity. Do we know all the details of it? We don't by any means. However, think about it like this. Here in this fallen world, aren't there some pretty nice things going on in this fallen world? So if you remove all the sin, and now you're in the presence of God Almighty, isn't that going to be like so much better? I mean, it's going to be so good we can't even really begin to comprehend it, but let's look forward to that. Let's be excited about it. Finally, right here at the end, the final verse, for you were continually straying like sheep. In other words, we kept going away and falling into sin, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So notice there, we were straying. That's past tense. Now we're not straying anymore, but now we are living under the love and under the protection of our good shepherd. So even though this life isn't easy at times, our good shepherd is with us. He is protecting us. He is feeding us. He is helping us through this life, and he will help us all the way until we are finally with our Father forever and ever. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that we can call upon you in prayer as we think about who you are and what you have done. We owe you absolutely everything. Because of that, help us from our overflowing gratitude help us to better understand the contents of this message? There's a lot packed in here. Help us so that we can understand it, that we can remember it, that we can apply it in our lives. And as we do so, with the help and power of the Holy Spirit, as we do so, may you be glorified and may you use each of us to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.